Hello and welcome to the PopBreak.com's official Oscars podcast, hosted by Marissa Carpico and Matt Taylor.
This is Marissa Carpico, film editor at thepopbreak.com. I'm here for the Way Too Early Oscar podcast. We are doing yet another one of our individual category episodes. Today, it's one of the perennial favorites, some of the only categories Matt and I would kill over, I think. The actresses supporting and lead. We love actresses canonically on every podcast. We don't have time for boys, mostly. In acting, that is.
We begrudgingly have to put up with him in real life.
Well, you've now said hello, Matt. I forgot to intro you in that way. So let's dive in. Supporting actress, we're going to start with. Quite a category this year. We're recording this post SAG nominations, and I think if we had not waited until after the SAG nominations, we would have
SAG wins.
Yes, we would. Or yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, the SAG wins. We would have to throw out the episodes because whoa. All right. So the nominees for supporting actress are Angela Bassett in Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, Hong Chow in The Whale, Carrie Condon in The Banshees of Inisherin, Jamie Lee Curtis in Everything Everywhere All at Once, and Stephanie Hsu for Everything Everywhere All at Once. Why don't we jump into the Angela Bassett of it all? What are your thoughts on...
She did the thing, would you say?
Oh, boy. Did she not do the thing? Well, we thought she did the thing, but the SAG voting body maybe said that she did not do the thing. Because Jamie Lee Curtis won, to my utter shock and surprise. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, why don't you talk about the Angela Bassett of it all?
Yeah, I mean... It is funny because I remember when the Black Panther Wakanda Forever trailer came out, which for those who don't remember or didn't see it, that first teaser trailer is built entirely around the big monologue Angela Bassett gives. And a lot of people on Reddit were like, oh, is she going to get nominated for an Oscar? And I was like, I'm excited for this movie, but this is a Marvel movie. Like, she's not going to, and that's fine. And now it's like she is one of the heavy hitters in the category, and she's great in that scene. That is a very, very good clip. Would I nominate her in this year for this movie? No, but I also am very strongly believe that Angela Bassett deserves Oscar nominations. And the fact that she only has one is insulting. So I'm like, sure. I mean, now she has two, but before this, she only had one. So it's like, sure, she can get this nomination. And honestly, like, she wouldn't be my pick, would not be mine if she won for this. Like, Angela Bassett deserves an Oscar, and she is good in this film. So it is like, that's all I can ask for. Like, there have been so many worse winners in recent memory for this category and all categories where I'm like Angela Bassett deserves an Oscar. Like, absolutely. Like, let's get her an Oscar. I really thought for going in, she was going to be a lock through the whole season once she got the nomination and like showed up everywhere else. I will say, I wouldn't be shocked if Jamie Lee winning is like a SAG only thing. Like, obviously there's a big overlap in like SAG voting and Oscar voting because the actors make up the biggest branch of the Academy. But like, they have in the past been like 3 for 4 in terms of matching up. And this is the one I feel less locked in on. If you watch the SAG Awards live on YouTube, which I found a fascinating experience to watch award show that was not being produced for television, where like they weren't working in commercials. It was very interesting to watch. But Jamie Lee Curtis walks that room like she is the mayor, basically.
Oh, yeah.
And I just think, like, obviously, that means she's probably very well liked in the Academy as well. But I wouldn't be shocked if, like, Angela Bassett being in this really big movie that realistically has supporters in all the guilds, like I'm sure Everything Everywhere All at Once has. I just wouldn't be surprised if Angela Bassett can still pull out the win. But yeah, it was a surprise to not see her get the SAG award this year. Just like she, like it really felt like she was gonna do the thing, basically.
Oh God,
that's Jesus. The last time I'll say it. I promise.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna have to arrest you. Yeah, I thought like, you know, the SAG was gonna be like the final nail in the coffin, as it were, and it's like, okay, it's Angela winning it. But yeah, like I agree with everything you said about the performance. Like it is the biggest feature of the film. It is through her largely that we are, as an audience, mourning Chadwick Boseman. And yeah, like I don't know, I wouldn't have nominated it either. I truly am shocked that it's here, but like, hey, why not? We'll be on the record eventually someday as thinking that she maybe should have won that first time. And yeah, it makes sense. Like Angela Bassett should have a freaking Oscar, for God's sake. So I hope she pulls a win here. Why don't we just talk about Jamie Lee Curtis, for God's sake? Mm-hmm. We've been talking about her already. you know, I think it's a decent performance. And another person who like has brought us all so much joy, you know, Freaky Friday is a formative text. I wore that CD out, baby, when it came out. I probably, we probably still had it before my parents moved to New Zealand in some, you know, CD case somewhere. Yeah, it's a good performance. I mean, she has to play like a lot of levels. She's a villain in some timeline. She's a, you know, a tool of the taxes in one timeline, a lover in another with hot dog hands. She does good work, and she's likable, and man, she's campaigning the shit out of this season. Going to all these award shows and doing interviews and stuff. It's frankly wild that this is her first nomination, because she's such a part of the like texture of film for so long, you know, from Halloween on, really. And not something I would have nominated, to be brutally honest. But hey, again, it's like, am I going to be pissed off about like a beloved actress getting a nomination because we love her? Not really. I'll maybe, you know, squint my eyes at a win, but hey, things happen. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think a lot about when my mom watched Everything Everywhere All at Once, and she called me after when we were talking about the Oscar nominations for it, and I mentioned how Jamie Lee Curtis and Stephanie Hsu were both nominated in supporting actress, and my mom was just like, I like Jamie Lee, but I hope the daughter gets it, because she's just been through so much, as if like Stephanie Hsu is the actual daughter from the movie in real life. But
I love that for her.
Yeah, but like regardless, I was kind of like, on one hand, I would not put Jamie Lee in my five. I think she is very fun in the movie. I think there are many more interesting performances, both in the movie, in this category, and just more broadly to honor this year. That being said, yes, if we're looking at the Oscars as like a way of rewarding Hollywood and like creating narratives through careers, which is the only way to do it and stay sane, as you and I talk about sometimes, like, you know, it is insane this is her first nomination. She is an icon. And then also, I am very happy that her first nomination is for such a comedic role, where she has like her one little serious moment. For the most part, it is the purely comedic part of the film. And that is, I love that, because I think Jamie Lee is first and foremost a great comedic actress. Like, obviously, she's done drama, she's done good work in drama, and she's had this sort of career uptick because of these Halloween reboots, remakes, whatever you want to call them, that she's done. But she is at her best when she's being funny. I think a lot about, you mentioned Freaky Friday. That's an Oscar-worthy performance, to be honest. She's so good in that
Exactly.
movie. Yes,
exactly.
This is not me being hyperbolic. This is like she's genuine.
No, it's so a brilliant good. Performance. It's physical. She becomes Lindsay Lohan.
Yes, she's so good. She's even good. And this movie has aged terribly. She's really good in True Lies. She's very funny in True Lies.
I knew you were going to say True Lies. And you're right. She's great in it.
She's great. That movie, though, like jail.
Yikes. People involved. Big yikes. Yes, huge but, yikes.
But she's very good in it. And even, like, I haven't seen this movie in years, but, like, you know, maybe her most famous performance is, like, A Fish Called Wanda or, like, what's it called? Trading Places. Like, she's a comedic actress. I think it is very cool that she got nominated for a performance that is purely her being fun. And if she wins for it, it would be, like, in the same way of Angela Bassett. Like, I can't argue with Jamie Lee having an Oscar. Like, it's, like, would I vote for her? No, but, like, I would absolutely love for her to get an Oscar. Like it she deserves.
yeah, I wouldn't hate it. Okay, Stephanie Hsu in Everything Everywhere All at Once, a brilliant performance. You know, so good at what you could almost say she's like a dual lead or something, for actress. But like, yeah, what a great performance. And like, it's utterly necessary because the whole film is about motherhood, mother-daughter, and like mother-daughter relationships, right? And the film doesn't work without her, realistically, because she has to play this like villain on some level, but also this like nexus of all of these hopes and dreams and mistakes that Michelle Yeoh's character has made. And the film doesn't have the emotional punch that it has at the end without that central performance, those two performances being so perfectly matched. You know, there's obviously a queer narrative here in the character's history, and her just like way she plays the sort of like hurt and years of trauma with the Michelle Yeoh character and the like main storyline is so good and so subtle and just like immediately understandable and recognizable. Yeah, it's just brilliant. I think it's a really, really good performance. I would love like a surprise win, but there's like literally no way, you know? The Academy does love ingenues when it comes to actresses, but it does feel like it's going to be one of the old guard this year. Let's do, I'm going to talk about Kerry Condon in The Banshees of Inisherin, which like, honestly, I think is one of the best supporting actress performances of the year. I mean, I liked the movie a lot more than I have a lot of McDonough's work in the last couple years. I mean, that's true for both of us, obviously, but, yeah, I was just blown away by Kerry Condon. I was like, who is this person? Like, this is beyond. What a star performance. She creates this entire person with so little screen time and so little, like, the character is so sort of, playing things close to the vest and clearly so smart, but also so desperate to get out of this little town and her circumstances. And you can just imagine like this whole other movie that's just about her life, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's because of the way she just, the choices she makes. The scene I keep thinking about is the one with Barry I don't know how to say his last name, Kewin or whatever.
Kewin, yeah.
Kewin, maybe, yeah. Yeah. By the water, with the banshee across the way, and like the levels she has to play in that scene alone are so interesting, because there's a yearning that sort of underlies the whole character, but there's also like a real kindness and a. I don't know. She's just so gentle in that scene. And I think it's like a really, it's a great performance. I can't wait to see, like, I'm sure this role is going to get her like bigger and bigger roles to where I will like get to recognize her instead of being like, who is that? You know?
Exactly. It is. She's so good. I also was like, who is she? Like the minute I finished the movie. I just think, she's such a crucial element to why the movie succeeds and what I think is missing from McDonough's other works for me, where it's like, she is funny. Like, she has that great scene that is always for Clippit Award shows of her just being like, you men are also fucking boring, basically. And it's such a great moment. But also, like, she finds the right balance because you have Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson who are being, like, you know, this somewhat heightened comedic roles, basically. Like, very mildly heightened because the movie is still very dark. But, like, it is not, they're not playing realistic people, so to speak. She has such a, she grounds the movie so much. And there is such, like, a real palpable emotion to her in everything while she is still able to be funny and go toe-to-toe with both of the men in the film. I just think it's so impressive. She won the BAFTA, and I would absolutely love to see her win here as well. If she pulls out a win, I think it would be so satisfying. I was like a purely like, yes, this is truly maybe a case of the right person winning in the category, like based on just performance alone.
It'd be a little bit of a Glenn Close, situation of like the Olivia Colman beating Glenn Close for, you know, like the newer person who's sort of beating the stalwart. But yeah, I mean, honestly, I would love a surprise win too, frankly, because it's maybe the performance I'll think about the most. Because I think that's absolutely right. His films tend to lack a sort of humanity, or any recognizable human being. And she's certainly that in the film and absolutely grounds it. You're totally right.
She's maybe the first woman he wrote to be like
the only, literally that's, thank God you said it. Cause I was thinking it, Hong Chau in The Whale, speaking of, films that need grounding in reality. She's strong, I guess. You know, the film is such a mess that I think she almost gets a nomination purely because she's the only recognizable human being with an ounce of empathy, both as a person acting on other people and receiving it in the film. I wouldn't have picked it, but I would have not preferred that anyone have to see The Whale. So,
yes.
You know, that's me. What are your thoughts?
Now we said it.
We're gonna keep saying it, baby.
Yeah, I agree. I love Hong Chau. She's one of the actresses who I have been like, you know, had my eye on in the past 5 or so years, where I am like, she's gonna be big. And it is just so painful to me that so many of her best performances are in really bad, terrible movies. And the other one I'm thinking of being Downsizing, but like, she is good in here. But yeah, this is just such a piece of shit movie, to be honest, where I'm like, if you wanted to nominate her, like, she's also good in The Menu. Like, she's great in The Menu, even. She has one of the funniest scenes in that movie. Like,
it was right there. It was right there.
Nominate her for that. If you really wanted to honor her, nominate her for that, because, like, she's good in The Whale. She's the only person who doesn't, I think, embarrass herself on some level in it. But, like, that's not reason for a nomination. Like, I don't know. It's such a shame, because I really do, and I feel this, like, I also really like Brendan Fraser as like this like celebrity figure, and I love the narrative of them being nominated, but I am just like, I'm like, oh, I can't believe this movie got nominated, and we have to talk about it, and that, like, you know, when people do a retrospective podcast like ours in 20 years that didn't necessarily grow up with this movie, they'll watch it and be like, oh, what a shitty movie this is. But you know,
the Cleopatra of whatever podcast is. Actually, I like Cleopatra more than I like The Whale. I don't know. Yeah, but, I'd have to think of a movie that it was really like a real dog to compare to this. Because man, it's awful.
Yeah.
Okay, alternates. We always have a couple. Well, actually, we should talk about. We've sort of talked about it already, but I think if I had to throw my weight behind someone at this point, I think Jamie Lee Curtis might win it because she's campaigning so hard.
She is. She wants it so badly, and I don't blame her. That being said, I would vote for Carrie Condon, I think.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
100%. Yeah.
full agreement on that. One of my alternates is Lashana Lynch in The Woman King, which
Hell yeah, she's also in mine.
I knew it would be. I was like, girl, we're gonna both talk about her because it is like the most movie star performance I've ever fucking seen in my life. She is so charismatic in it. It's everything she says. It's like you look at that character and you're like, baby, I'll go anywhere with you. She just bursts off of that screen. And like, I kept thinking during it being like, the charisma is so there. And the sort of like edge of flirtation with the camera and all the characters is there in a way that I was like, Barbara Broccoli, for the love of God, please just like, fuck the haters. Just make Lashana Lynch Bond for like 5 years or something. Like, put her in a couple movies. Keep her as 007. Who cares? I like, screw it. Nobody's going to like who you choose anyway. Just try it out. I don't care. Like, I always think the let's cast a lady as Bond is always such a, like, I don't know, feels like a girl power kind of like empty gesture to me as a Bond, you know, scholar. But in this case, please, I'm begging for it. Barbara, where's your address? I'll write you a letter. Do it. How would you like to keep fawning over Lashana Lynch?
I mean, you said so much of what I was going to say. Like, just like, I was watching it like, Lashana Lynch, punch me, please. Like, she's so good. And I mean, like, and I don't know, this is repeating myself from other episodes, but it is the sort of thing where I'm like, what did this movie have to do? Like, it feels like such a movie star performance from somebody where, like, obviously we both knew her before this year, but like, she pops so well for different reasons in this and our beloved Matilda, where I'm just like, I can't wait to see what else she does. Like, I don't think she's never had a lead role in a movie that I've seen at the very least. So it's like, I'm like, someone make her the lead in something, because I just think, you know, she's going to blow us all away. She's incredible.
Make her James Bond, whatever her character's name is.
She's so good in No Time to Die. No Time to Die. Oh my God. That movie's so good. I should watch that again.
I know. We're going to like talk about it for Best Picture this year. Who cares? do you want to mention another one of yours, just so, you know, I don't steal any more of yours?
Yes. I wouldn't be surprised if she's also in your five. This is someone who, like, I think it's a borderline lead in supporting performance, but they campaigned in supporting. So, you know, we're not category fraud police here. I'll put her in supporting for myself, too.
Not in our imaginary nomination, certainly not.
Yeah, and this person would be my winner as well in the category. And that is Kiki Palmer for Nope. Like, obviously I knew Kiki Palmer. I am a child of the late 90s, early 2000s. I did see Aquila and the Beat in theaters. And and so obviously I knew her. But it's funny because, like, in the years since she stopped being, or like, I don't know if she stopped being a child after I just stopped watching child's like television programs, but like, there's like the time when I didn't really follow her career. I just kind of vaguely knew who she was from memory. Then she's in Hustlers, and she's very fun in Hustlers, but it was more like famous that year for her incredibly endearing campaign for that campaign, like her promotional campaign for the movie, basically. Like, we all remember where we were when she said, I don't know who this man is, but
sorry to this man.
But so then watching her and Nope, I remember like just being like, oh, like, it's interesting that Kiki Palmer, like, former child star, is in this movie, and she is just out of this world charismatic in this movie. Like, it is the sort of thing where I'm like, you know, we use this term a lot on this podcast, like a movie star performance that just is like the sort of thing where I watched it and I was like, why isn't she the lead of every movie? Like, why isn't she doing everything? She carries the movie so much where, like, I get the argument that she could be a supporting character in the film because it is Daniel Kaluuya's narrative and she's kind of supporting that. But she just steals every single scene that she's in where I'm like, oh, like, put her in everything. I think she's so good. She's so funny, but never too funny to distract from like the heart of the character. I think she's incredible in this, and I cannot wait to see what she does next. She also is the host of maybe the best SNL in like 3 years, which is like part of why I also need to just shut her. She's incredible. I can't wait to see what she does next.
Yeah, I mean, she's absolutely one of mine because, my God, what a performance. I remember just sitting in that theater and being like, this person is so talented. It's like I can't even look at the screen. I'm going to scream. Like, when she does that little Akira slide, the way I almost stood up at the theater and applauded, I couldn't handle it. Like, it's just, and you're right. She always gets the tone and what to do exactly right. And she's been good for so long, but it's just like, it's always felt like, you know, there's been other things going on. Like, I really liked her in Scream Queens, which I'm like one of the only of five people who finished watching the entire series. But like, she's great. She's so good. And like, it does feel like Nope is like this moment where it's like, she transferred from being like very dependable quality actor to being like movie star. And the performance is perfect. It's funny, like, sort of mysterious occasionally. You know, the deeply felt emotions are there. It's got everything. It's just so fucking good. She's even an action star in it, you know? It's wonderful. One of my other ones for the year, this is my last one, actually, is, and I'm devastated that it didn't happen because it kind of looked like it was going to happen for a while, is Dolly De Leon in Triangle of Sadness, which is like the performance of that film. This is an actress who's like majorly, mostly worked in the Philippines. And like out of nowhere runs away with that movie in a way that's like fucking iconic, honestly. That performance is so good, so assured, so interesting and like complex and like has so many like different aspects to it. What a thrill. I love that performance. And I hope it, like, she comes and works in America more, because what a delight. How many more you got? Actually, just name them all.
I have one more. And then you, that, like, because Kerry Condon and Stephanie Hsu are both in my five. Then you have Kiki Palmer and Lashana Lynch. And my last one in my five is Janelle Monáe for Glass Onion.
Yeah.
Janelle, I mean, one of the most talented people working today. Perhaps the best concert I've ever been to. I saw Janelle Monáe.
We both were there. Not together, actually. We just, like, different parts of the theater.
Yeah, we both were there. And, you know, one of the best shows of my life. And obviously, I've loved her work in film so far. But this really does feel like the first time. And we've used this so many times in this episode alone. But, like, Rian Johnson uses her like the movie star she is, like, from her very first glimpse on camera to the end. Like, he just knows how deeply talented she is. And especially when you consider the twist in the film. Like, it's such good work. And, like, I don't want to get into it because it is a spoiler, but, like, I have seen people knock, like, the cartoonishness of her accent choice, perhaps, and I'm like, no, you don't understand what that movie is going for. She absolutely is operating.
I'm sorry, when Daniel Craig and his Foghorn Leghorn act is right there, shut up.
Yeah, exactly.
Get a grip. Like,
she absolutely knows what level to operate on. Rian Johnson is such a good director of actors. Honestly, I could have put Kate Hudson in this five as well. Like, he knows how to direct people so well, and I think she does such a good performance. Like, really just incredible work.
Yeah, Kate Hudson very nearly made mine. Actually, I put Janelle in lead because I guess she would be the lead actress of that film.
But it is borderline, absolutely.
Yeah, it's borderline. I probably would have put her in lead, but yeah, I mean, I agree with you fully. She's so good in that film. That last little money shot, I mean, come on. How can you resist? A brilliant way to end a film. All films should end with that exact shot, actually. The mystery. Okay, so the next category is lead actress, obviously. Also one that I think the SAGs, the SAGs are sort of, that's one that it sort of solidified in my mind. The nominees are Cate Blanchett in Tar, Ana de Armas in Blonde, Andrea Riseborough in To Leslie. We are finally going to talk about it, I guess. We've been dancing around it. Michelle Williams in The Fabelmans, and Michelle Yeoh in Everything Everywhere All at Once. Michelle Yeoh won the SAG. She's been winning most things at this point, and I think it's pretty solidly hers to lose at this point. Maybe, you know, Blanchett gets a spoiler, or Andrea Riseborough's campaign, you know, grassroots campaign wins it all, which, like, the monster in me almost wants that. It'd be, girl, the way there would be 6 weeks of, like, discourse. Thank God we're off Twitter, because it would kill us. I'm just gonna kill it.
Yeah.
Because I'd be like, she's the best character actress we have working.
Being off Twitter, if I wasn't already off Twitter, I absolutely would have quit the minute I heard Leslie on Oscar nomination morning. It's should we just go with the two Leslie?
Let's do it, baby. You know, it's interesting. I wish I could have seen the film without the context of the nomination.
But no one did.
I know. That's a, well, that don't talk about Gwyneth Paltrow that way.
I have to say, I don't know if Gwyneth Paltrow watched this movie. I think
she hosted a screening show. She was in the room. She definitely saw it. Okay. And Edward Norton clearly saw it with that fawning tweet thread. But yeah, you know, it's interesting. I honestly think it's the kind of movie, if you and I had seen, but without all this context, would have been the kind of thing we both gave 4 stars and then never shut the fuck up about, because we love Andrea Riseborough.
So we do love her.
I wish I could have seen it in that context, because, you know, watching it, I didn't even rate it when I logged it, because I was like, I can't honestly give this a clear answer, because I think, like, I want to give it a 4, but it's just like, am I being an edgelord? I don't know. Because I think the performance is good. It's theatrical. In a way that, like, you know, signifies in a Hollywood film gritty realism, like an actress doing something big, right? Like, I don't know. It's got that sort of, like, to me, it sort of felt like that sort of domestic drama that, like, you would see in the 70s that, like, Gina Rollins would perform in. Mm-hmm. And it, you'd be like, damn, that bitch is an actress. And, like, that's the way I feel every time I see Andrea Riseborough, really. And I like that about her. You know, it's like, I'm always happy to see her. Like, to be brutally honest, nobody remembers that movie Battle of the Sexes except me, because I watch her hair, her doing Emma Stone's hair frequently, actually, on YouTube, which is, you know what? Embarrassing, but, you know, what have I ever held back on this podcast or ever, frankly? So, like,
I forgot she was
I like her a lot. Oh, that's what I'm saying. I'm the only one who remembers and still watches parts of it. Thank you to the YouTube person who uploaded like a 3-hour version of it. Sometimes I just throw it on in the background and then I stop whenever I get bored, which just takes longer than you'd expect. But it's a good movie.
I'm sending the police for a wellness check right now.
They're going to be like, how long did you watch this for? But it's a decent movie. It's this addiction drama about a woman putting her life back together because she's finally just like, I can't keep living this way. I want to fulfill these dreams that I have. I want to repair my relationship with my son. I think it's a decent performance and a decent movie. It's the kind of quiet movie I probably would have really liked. I, you know, if I could go back in time and see it, I would have. But yeah, I think it's decent. Good for her, honestly. You know, I've said it on a different podcast. Actually, maybe not on this podcast. I certainly said it on Cinema Joe's, but I think all the controversy is bullshit because she's not doing anything differently than what a studio does. She just moneyballed the Oscars and did it in the most targeted way possible. Is it bullshit? Sure, but this is the way the Oscars work. And I think the reason the Oscars did the investigation is because it exposed that the Oscars are this like backroom dealing who you know kind of thing. And people have been saying this for years, for God's sake. Monique would say this back in the day. You know, not to call back to something else, but
I thought
Monique is the Monique is the Martha Mitchell of this.
My broken what? Name was like Monique Hart. Like, I was like, why would
no! Monique Hart? Yeah. Mo Hart, yeah. Queen of. No, just Monique, pure Monique, period. Yeah. You know, she's the Martha Mitchell of this situation. She talked about it back then. Like, this is a you know, an insider sort of thing. So, yeah, Andrea did it, whatever. I like that she has a nomination. I think she's a really great actress. I like every time she shows up, I'm happy to see her. I think you're colder on the movie than I am. I mean, I'm not even that warm on the movie. I'll never watch it again, probably. But like, I just think it's so silly that everybody's mad at it. What are your thoughts?
I think the movie itself is fine. I think she's very, very good in it. I also think Marc Maron's low-key great in it. And
period.
Yeah, and in general, I was like, oh, like, yeah, it is funny how, like, when the nominate, so for context, all this Leslie stuff was happening, like, in the background because I'm not on Twitter anymore. So when celebrities started randomly tweeting about this movie very aggressively, I heard about it, like, through the grapevine, and I was like, that's random, but okay. And knowing Andrea Riseborough, like, I do. I mostly know her for like weird sicko movies, basically, where she's giving like this really crazy performance, like, you know, Possessor or something like that. And I was like,
oh, yeah, if I would have nominated her for something last year, it would have been Please Baby Please, where she plays this sort of like gender non-conforming, like genuinely psychopath, which is fun. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. She's always a weirdo. This is like she's the most normal thing she's ever done.
And I like was like, I was expecting something really gritty going into it, just knowing what kind of actress she is, like something along the lines of that Vanessa Kirby film from the pandemic.
Whatever the hell it's called.
Yeah,
something. It's like woman doing something. I don't know.
Yeah, and it was it was this thing where I was like watching. I'm like, oh, like this. I mean, obviously it has heavy moments in it, but I was like, this is what my parents would like fucking love. Like, it's like this is just so much safer than I would have expected. And I was like, if this had, I don't know, A24 as a studio, I think we would have been talking about her all year. So it's just like, it's the sort of thing where, yeah, like she did sort of expose the silly, like how silly Oscar campaigning is, where it's like, yeah, she just kind of went to her friends and was like, can you tweet this? Most of the people use the same exact language. So it's like, okay, like, they just copied and pasted an email from her, basically. And it's like, you know, I can understand being frustrated about this, but as we've talked about, and as I said before, it's like, what I love about the Oscars is not, like, I don't go into the Oscar season expecting it to be, like, the true arbiters of quality. And it's always frustrating when, like, a movie, like, Green Book wins, where it's like, oh, I think this is actually putting something toxic into the world. But at least with this one, it's like, I'm like, I don't know, it's fine. It's like, I agree that it's great she has a nomination. It sucks that a lot of really great people got snubbed, and it indicates, you know, the hurdles that a lot of films and actresses have to go through. But at the same time, it's like, I also think you could say the same about some of the other movies nominated being like bad nominations as well, where I'm like, the whole thing, I'm like, thank God I'm off Twitter. That's all I can say. It's like,
yeah,
you know, it is messy. And if she wins,
Go ahead. No. Yeah, chaos, absolute chaos. I mean, I just think like, I get the anger because it's like,
yeah,
you know, two people we're probably going to talk about, Detweiler and, mm-hmm. and Davis not being nominated, mm-hmm. is not Andrea Riseborough's fault. It's a fault of the system, which is that Hollywood is, you know, has an embedded racism that is we are struggling to work against here. And it's also about being in the club, basically. And like, exactly. Andrea's in the club. She's worked with a lot of fucking people in the Academy who are big deals, you know? So she was able to do it. And so is Viola, but like, it's, there's so many mitigating factors here. And it's like, to be mad at her is I think silly because it's like, it's the wrong target, you know? It's the Oscars themselves and Hollywood itself.
The whole thing, and the Academy launching like an investigation just rang so like,
yeah, that it's PR.
It's similar to like that, it's that, like that, that meme from I Think You Should Leave of the guy in the hot dog suit being like, we're trying to figure out how this happened and everything, because I was just like, I was just like, what are they investigating? Like, did she break into the Academy and like switch out the names? Like, it's like,
right.
It's
like, was she in a teen movie and took the prom voting boxes and put a bunch of extra ones in there? Like, this isn't Glee. Like, get, move on.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. It's like, we just have to fix the system in and of itself. Like not yell at Andrea Riseborough.
Yeah, it's not her fault, man. She's just trying to fucking get noticed and maybe not be just a character actress someday. You know, you subtweeted someone just a second ago. Why don't you talk about Ana de Armas in Blonde?
the movie that I'm like, why is this here?
Girl, yeah. What the hell is this doing here? Like, yeah, if you want to get mad at someone, let's get mad at Blonde. Yeah, speak on it.
I mean, the funny thing is with Ana de Armas in Blonde, like, I don't hate her performance. I don't think it's a good performance necessarily, but like the movie itself is the problem. It is quite easily the worst movie I saw in 2022. And you heard how much we hated The Whale. So it's like, for this to be the worst thing I saw this year is a testament to something. And like Anna is fine in it, I guess. Like, you know, she is certainly mimicking Marilyn Monroe at certain points, and we've been such big fans of her work in other cases. We both talked about how she should be nominated for No Time to Die.
She should have won for No Time to Die.
Yeah, I really liked her in Knives Out. You know, she's done good work, and like, I want to be happy for her. And also she gave us one of our best celebrity eras in recent memory when she dated Ben Affleck. That got me through the pandemic, to be honest. But like, so I love Anna, but it is
Ben
just
too.
Like, yes, but it is just like, this film is so toxic and ugly and ultimately just amounts to, you know, I believe it's over 3 hours, if I remember correctly. And it's like, it's 3 hours of watching this very talented actress basically get tortured on screen, like, whether it be sexual violence or emotional abuse or physical abuse or whatever sort of horrible thing you can imagine. And then on top of that, you tie in the film history of it all, where it's like, Andrew Dominik is trying to paint some sort of picture of Marilyn Monroe, maybe the most iconic actress of all time. And like, and all he can think to do is say, like, she had a hard life, I guess, but he's approaching it from this way of being dismissive of her work. And then also many of the most traumatic things that happened to her in this movie are not like things that actually happened to her, at least that we know of. So it's like, it's the sort of thing where I'm just like, what is this movie's nomination saying here, basically? It's like, it's just saying, like, it's rewarding this idea of, like, we want to see actresses be tortured on screen instead of play full characters. And, like, you compare it to something like Daniel Deadwyler in Till, which is such a hard role to play in terms of what she is tasked to do, like, as a... Like, it is a movie that, like you've said before, like, we both went into it, like, being worried about sitting through it because it was just going to be such a tough sit. But that movie makes her, you know, Mamie Till, a character, and, like, does so much more than just make you sit through a hard-to-watch movie. And Blonde is just such torture where I'm like, why is this her first nomination? Why are we even talking about this movie? Why is this taking up a spot? In a really good actress year. So it's like, it's just a bummer. I can't believe we have to talk about this movie, basically.
Yeah, it's punishing. I hate this movie so much. I kept not watching it because I just was like, I don't want to fucking have to talk about this, and I'm hoping it doesn't happen. And of course it happened. And it's like, honestly, one of the worst things. Well, it's the worst thing I hope I ever have to watch for the Oscars. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's, she's fine, but she's literally given one note to play, which is just this like, like object of male sadism and brutality, essentially, that like robs Marilyn of her her agency and her acting skill and her like knowledge of her own career. So yeah, I don't know. It's just like it's bizarre to me because at no point does Ana de Armas get to play a human being in this thing. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it just feels like this sort of toxic like idea of like what deserves to be nominated for an actress or like what deserves to be lauded for an actress, like just to be sort of like brutalized on screen. I don't know. It's just terrible. It's a bad film with a bad take and a poor direction. And like, she's fine in it, but like, there have been so many other good performances from her. I don't get it. Michelle Yeoh in Everything Everywhere All at Once. I mean, I already sort of talked about this. Like, yeah, it's the linchpin of the film. We all love her. She's won the SAG and a bunch of the other lead up awards. I'd be shocked if she lost, and I can't wait to see her win it. I'm sure I'll cry. I'm sure I'll get many texts from a bunch of friends of them crying too. So, you know, we'll just try not to look at each other as we cry next to each other on the couch, Matt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. She's mother. That's all I can say. We're going long.
Period.
She's mother. I'm ending there.
Exactly. You've been waiting for this for years. The only person who might beat her, I think, is Cate Blanchett in Tar. I mean, she's won a couple of the other. Anytime Michelle Yeoh doesn't win an award, it's because of Cate Blanchett, pretty much. and listen, it would also make sense because every few years, it feels like Cate Blanchett gives us a performance that is like the best performance of her career. And like, this is one of them. It's like, how does she keep doing it? It's incredible, this performance. She's so captivating, so like confident, such a the character feels fully formed. She's the thing leading you through the film, and it's, you never feel, even when the movie for me goes off the rails in that epilogue, she is the only thing that feels assured about it. I it's a great performance. I mean, if she didn't have one already, I would certainly argue that she should win one, but because she does have one, you know,
she has two.
That's right. That she has two. She's got two men. Oh, right. Yeah. I try to forget Blue Jasmine. Cause like we have a streetcar named Desire at home. But yeah, I if she didn't have two already, I would vote for it, but I can't wait for Michelle Williams to win.
Michelle.
Thoughts on. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh yeah. Sorry. Michelle Yeoh. There's too many Michelles around. Thoughts on Tar and Cate Blanchett?
I mean, she's great. I do think, having not seen I'm Not There Yet, it's probably the best performance she's ever been nominated for. And she
Yeah, she's not really in that enough to be for I'm Not There. It's, you know, there's too many other people around, honestly.
Yeah, I'll see that movie eventually. I'm excited to do so. But I think this is the best performance she's ever been nominated for. She's really good in it. I cannot imagine not voting for Michelle Yeoh, where it's like, it is a sort of thing where, no disrespect to Cate, the fact that Cate Blanchett is now, like, she's probably like in her 50s, I would say, like, has already had multiple points in her career where it's like, well, that's the best performance of her career, where I'm like, we still have like 30 more years of her giving work. She's going to give so many more career best moments. And I like to view the Oscars as, you know, a game of narratives. And Michelle Yeoh winning this year would be such a perfect narrative where I'm like, you have to go for Michelle. But Cate Blanchett is really good. It's a great performance. She's wonderful.
She's the Katharine Hepburn of this time period. So yeah, she'll, you know, she doesn't have to worry about it. I'm sure she'll, you know, 5 years from now, she'll blow our heads off again and we'll be like, oh my God, how did she do it?
Yeah, exactly.
I probably shouldn't have kept poor Michelle Williams till the last, but I did in The Fablemans. And listen, you know, there was a time when it was like, oh, she's taking it, you know? Mm-hmm. And now it's like, well, you know, good for her. She got that nomination. But which is a shame because, it's just a testament how good the category is and how much, mm-hmm. like, the actresses just, like, bodied 2022. Because this is a fucking great performance. And I would never give it the win.
Yeah.
But she's wonderful in it. She plays this, she takes, you know, this mother character and turns her into a full human being with desires and, you know, sort of captures this moment when a child realizes that their parent is a human being with flaws and wants and like disappointments and a whole internal life that they're not aware of outside of their children. The dancing scene in front of the fire, my God, I mean, Christ, I'll never forget it, frankly. It's brilliant. What are your thoughts on Michelle Williams?
She's so good. What a great performance. I completely agree. She didn't make my five this year. And I was like, let me do a recount. Like, I was like, how did this not happen? Because she's so good. And I was like,
I can't wait to hear who won your grassroots campaign.
Yeah. And I was just like, oh, like, she's so good. And I cannot believe it's a testament to how good the year is that she did not make it. And, you know, it's like, you said it so well. She makes this person so human. And like, watching the trailer for this movie when it was first coming out, I was like excited, but I was also like, this could be an annoying movie if it's not done well. And like, she could play, I mean, she's a great actress, but she might be stuck playing like the idea of a mother more than like an actual person. Yeah. And she does, I mean, it is also the script, but she does such a good job making this person feel so real. And then also just like is so much fun. Like, Michelle's one of our best theatrical actresses when she can be. And like, the scene where she's playing the piano and her nails are too long is so much fun. The way she says, like she got a monkey because she wanted a laugh and everything. It's like,
I needed a laugh.
What an icon. What an icon. She's so good. I love her so much in it. One of our best. Like, she is such a great, I'm sorry about Venom. I think about it all the time. She's incredible.
She's great on Venom.
Great at Venom.
Venom 1 and 2. What do you mention one of your, we've already talked about who will win and all that. Why don't you talk about one of your alternates?
Yes. So Michelle and Kate both made, Michelle Yao and Kate Blanchett both made my five. One of the five who did not get nominated, I'll start with Viola Davis. You know, I love Viola. Again, we're talking about the best working right now. There is an argument to make she is the best working right now, basically. And it's a shame she didn't get nominated. Her physical transformation for this movie is so, so impressive. We make such a big deal about like
Christian Bale losing and gaining 200 pounds every 15 minutes.
Yeah, and like every time a Marvel actor gets ripped in a way that makes them look not like a person anymore, it's a big thing. What I love about her work in The Woman King is like, you know, she looks incredible, but also she looks like a real person still. And like, there's a humanity there, both in her performance and in the way her character is designed. And, you know, I mean, Viola Davis has been around for like 15 years now. I watched her at one point in my life, like on a weekly basis, in How to Get Away with Murder. And like, you know, she's done so many different types of things. She can be sexy. She can be funny. She can be, you know, incredibly dramatic when she has to be. And like, I didn't know she could also be badass action hero, like, and she pulls it off so perfectly. And then on top of that, she also, you know, gets a real human arc to play. It's incredible work, and I think, you know, we will look back and be like, that's embarrassing she wasn't nominated.
Yeah, it's wild. I mean, it's weird, you know. It's especially in her EGOT year, how dare they. I'm going to mention the other person that, you know, people mentioned as being shocking that she didn't make it, Danielle Deadweiler, because I am Till's number one fan. What a fucking performance. It carries the film, obviously. But it's such a tricky role because it could shift into melodrama in a bad way. We love melodrama on this podcast, but like, you know, it could shift into like melodrama in a way that felt like it like dishonored the real life people. And it never does that. It's so controlled, so minute in its like fluctuations. The control that Danielle Deadweiler has of her instrument, not just her like her whole body, number one, like when she has that breakdown in front of the train, my goodness, but even just the facial expressions, there are so many like extreme, like close-ups on just her face, emotionally reacting to something that, you know, it's hard for an actress to do, or any good actor to do that realistically. That's a lot of pressure. And she never crumbles under that pressure. She's always meeting and exceeding what the film like expects of her and needs. It's such a human, fully formed performance. Like, you feel Mamie is real, but you also can feel the weight of history and everything she's doing. It is so good. It's just crazy. It's crazy that it's not in the five. It's crazy. I'm blown away that she didn't make it, but you know, hopefully she'll be back in a huge film and get another nomination sometime soon, because she absolutely deserves it.
Yeah, she's one of the train sequence you called out is like, both in the way it's filmed and the way she plays it, is such a perfectly done scene. Like, she's incredible.
Because she's so restrained before that, and that's like the first time you really get to see her like lose it, and it's just like, god damn, you need it, you know. Mm-hmm.
You need it. My next one, a performer who in TV and film this year surprised me by how compelling they are. Aubrey Plaza for Emily the Criminal, one of my least favorite titles of the year, but she's incredible in this movie that I really, really found so compelling. You know, she's playing this person who, it's a story we see so many times of like someone having to break bad because of American capitalism. And she kills it. She is, I always knew her, you know, as a very funny person from Parks and Recreation, you know, where I liked her. I thought mistakenly she was, you know, a one note, not in a bad way, but like a one note performer, because in Parks and Rec she was playing, you know, the sidekick essentially. And she is so compelling, so interesting to watch in Emily the Criminal. Like, there's just all, like, it is the best sort of like comedy actor to drama performance that you can imagine. She's just so dynamic on screen. It's really fascinating to see. I think if the movie had a bigger studio behind it, or if she was friends with Gwyneth Paltrow, she could have been nominated maybe. She's wonderful in it. She also is really, really good in this season of The White Lotus. And by the end of the year, I was just like, oh shit, like, I have to watch whatever she does next, because I think she is far more interesting an actor than I ever considered, basically. Like, she just has a real screen presence. And Emily the Criminal is on Netflix, and they're advertising it very, very heavily on Netflix. My parents recently called me to tell me how much they liked it. Their review was better than Banshees of Inisherin, which is a very weird specific. It was a very weird and specific comparison. But
they came for your neck, shit.
They really did. I was like, I didn't make it, but you know, it's very good. She's really great in it.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right about the versatility thing. I don't think any of us realized how much she could do. Another one for me is a film I didn't love necessarily, but I think, like, honestly, it's one of the performances of the year. Rebecca Hall in Resurrection.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
What the fuck, bro? Like, that performance is unreal. It is like, that bitch is so talented. And like, every time I see her in something, it's like, how could she, like, in a Blanchett sort of way, it's like, how does she top it? And then every time I'm like, damn it, she did it again. Like, fuck, that scene that's just her revealing her character's backstory. I mean, I guess to very quickly, like, her character is this woman who has, she encounters someone from her past and this sort of like steely, competent air that she has suddenly evaporates, and she slowly just is starting to break down from seeing this past abuser in her life. And there's this scene when she reveals this story of this abuse to a coworker, which is, you know, a violation of every human resource thing, but that is one take, and the camera just slowly, you know, rolls toward her. that is so incredible. I mean, it probably is the scene of the year in terms of actresses, because what she has to pull off, the scene is like 15 minutes long. And it's like, when will the camera stop? How is she doing it? It's like, it's crazy, bro. I think like the film is maybe could use a bit of cutting in the last like act or two, but holy shit, dude, that is like a unbelievable performance. I'll think of it until the day I die, honestly. Yeah, it's wild.
She's so good. It was very hard when I was determining my five. I wanted to give her the last slot. I gave it to Bella Ramsey for Captain Call Birdie. A movie that I was so troubled. I did not read this book in school. I remember like its reputation was the boring book you might get assigned in elementary school. And let me tell you, watching this movie was such a joy. I thought it was so funny. And entirely because of the casting, a lot of great performances, and Andrew Scott's really funny in it. Joe Alwyn's very well cast. Bella Ramsey's great. She is just a real fun, charming performer who I was like vaguely aware of because The Last of Us is like so heavily advertised. I haven't watched it yet because it looks very depressing. And like I knew Bella Ramsey in Game of Thrones for a little bit when I watched that for like a few seasons. This is such a wonderful, charming performance, and I think they are really, really funny and interesting as like a performer, and I'm excited to see what they do next. And also I just think that movie is really, really, really sweet, so was happy to give her the fifth nomination.
Yeah, that kid's great. If I were being like wildly indulgent, I would have said Zoe Kravitz in The Batman because like, I mean, maybe that's a supporting nominee. I don't know. But like, what other woman is in it?
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. That performance is just so good. And like, listen, there's a long history of Batmans. If you're not Michelle Pfeiffer, I don't really have time for you. But like, Zoe 8, she's so good in that movie. But my real one is Regina Hall in Honk for Jesus, Save Your Soul, which is, I think, not a great film. One that could, like, it sort of doesn't stick to its conceit or anything like that. And that's part of the problem. But another scene that I'll, like, think about till the day I die is her in that white clown makeup. Or I guess it's mime makeup, possibly. It's sort of a weird mix of the two. But she's doing this huge dramatic scene in this crazy makeup. And it's like, who's doing it like Regina Hall? She's been ignored for too long, man. I'll never forgive the Academy or anyone for not nominating her for Support the Girls. It's just, it's a travesty of the justice system.
She has a Matt Taylor nomination. We loved her. We love Support the Girls.
This is a Support the Girls podcast. I mean, if you didn't figure it out by this actress episode, we support the girls on this podcast.
We support the girls. And we also support the girls in Support the Girls.
Haley Lou Richardson, icon. So yeah, that is the actress episode. You know, honestly, the banner episode every year. I feel like it and Shorts are my favorite two to record. but yeah, you can catch me on thepopbreak.com writing things occasionally. I'm at Marissa Garpico on all social media. You can also catch our post-show podcast after the ceremony, and we've got episodes all the way up until the day of the Oscar ceremony. Matt, where are you on social media?
I'm on Letterboxd and Serialized, and that's it.
All right, cool. Thanks for listening, everyone.